Thanks, guys. Morning, everybody. I'm just going to continue the story. I was asked by Rebecca and Emma if I would come and just continue the story that we've been hearing this morning. So I'm going, in a few minutes, try and do a chapter and a half of the Bible. Okay, so buckle up, get ready for this. Because what we've just seen is that God's at work and the good news of Jesus is being spread into many different places. And so what we're going to look at this morning, this next part, I've summed up in these two lines. What is impossible for man is possible for God. What is impossible for man is possible for God. See, as we've just heard from Josh and Ella, is that more and more people are being saved because now even the Gentiles, those people who are not Jews, are now believing in Jesus. And Peter has seen it with his own eyes. And seeing that these people are receiving the Holy Spirit, just as he and the other disciples did as well. So Peter has to go and explain to the Jewish believers, God's plan is now not just for them, but for everybody. And when they hear Peter's explanation, they understand and are in agreement with him. And they say, it's really happened. God has broken through and let other nations come to know him. He has opened up to them life and life in all its fullness. Now, you think everybody would be happy about that. Because when you hear good news, everybody should be happy when they hear good news, shouldn't they? But I'm going to now introduce you to a man who wasn't very happy. His name is King Herod. And it seems that everybody who's called King Herod is a bit of a not very nice man in some way. He was a Jew, but he didn't believe in Jesus. He saw Jesus as a threat. So he decided to make trouble for those disciples in Jerusalem. He arrested James, who's the brother of John, and had him killed with a sword. Ooh. This made the unbelieving Jews, those that didn't believe in Jesus, very happy. So when Herod sees that actually people are really happy with him because he's done something against some other people, rather than doing what's right, he decides to do what's popular. How many of us face those situations where instead of doing what's right, we are tempted to do what we think will actually make us popular, whether it's at home, at school, at work, wherever it might be. So when Herod sees how happy the death of James makes the Jews that he's meant to be king over, he decides to arrest Peter as well. And having someone put to death who didn't break any laws should make a person sad, not happy. But Herod obviously wasn't interested in pleasing God. He's more interested in pleasing the people. And he finds pleasure in pleasing the unbelieving Jews because he thinks it's going to make him popular. What we're going to learn about this morning is what we learned at the very beginning, is about God doing the impossible. Jesus himself once said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. You see, Jesus didn't just talk it, he walked it as well. He, as God's son, was nailed to a cross for the sins of the world. He was buried, and 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. Every person who believes by faith that Jesus died in their place has all the wrong things that we've done forgiven. And we're also given the gift of eternal life. It's impossible for man to be saved in his or her own strength. But with God, all things are possible. God can do what we think is impossible. So, when Herod arrests Peter, perhaps he'd heard about the miraculous deliverance. If you read earlier in the book of Acts where the story is from so far, there's been an amazing escape from prison already. And we don't know for sure whether Herod had heard about that or not, but he decides he's going to do everything to stop Peter getting away and from his friends from in any way trying to rescue him. So he has him heavily guarded with a huge number of soldiers. From a human perspective, it looked like there's going to be no way for Peter to get out of prison with that many guards surrounding him. But remember, what is impossible for man is possible for God. So meanwhile, Peter is locked up in a prison cell. He's chained up with his hands together above his head. He is in an impossible situation. He's surrounded by guards on all sides. And while he's in prison, his friends, you think, would be hatching some sort of escape plan, thinking, let's do an Mission Impossible. Let's be like Tom Cruise and abseil in through the ceiling or something and do something. But what they're actually doing is they're meeting in a house. They're meeting in the house of Mark. And they're not planning schemes or escape routes or how to dig a tunnel. They're praying. Day and night, they're praying. Oh, is that it? Is that all they're doing? But for them, prayer is really important because they believe that God hears prayers. And they're praying for the release of Peter. So as they're praying, let's just go back to Peter's situation. As we see him in his prison cell, we don't see a man who is angry with God for being put in prison when he's done nothing wrong. We see a man who is actually fast asleep. See, sometimes we face difficulties, and instead of trusting in God, we actually think we have to worry about our situation. You see, and Peter's a very good example for any of us who ever go through a really difficult situation. You see, it seems it will be difficult to sleep being chained and knowing you're about to face certain death. But that's what we find Peter doing. Peter's able to sleep because he believed completely that God was in control and could be trusted with his life. He didn't need to worry about what was going to happen to him or what wasn't going to happen to him. You see, because worrying only causes us more harm. The more we worry, the more stressed we get. The more stressed we get, the more it affects our well-being. Jesus even said, don't worry about tomorrow, because even today has enough troubles of its own. Just deal with what you've got to do today. Don't worry about tomorrow. But Peter had peace because he knew he belonged to God, because he believed in Jesus and the Holy Spirit lived in his heart. It's also possible that as the believers are praying for Peter in the house, that his ability to have that peace is because it's an answer to their prayers. When we pray, do we believe that God will answer those prayers? Because if you and I know of someone going through a difficult situation, we can pray for God to give them his peace in that difficult situation. I know I've had peace in difficult times because I've known people not only in this country, but even around the world, have been in touch and said, we are praying for you. And that gives me a massive sense of peace. And I hope it does for you as well, knowing that people are going before God for you. So the next scene is amazing. As Peter is resting peacefully, probably sleeping like a baby, although we know some babies don't sleep very well, but that's another story, he's chained between these soldiers. A visitor appears in his cell. This once dark, dank prison is suddenly filled with brilliant light because Peter is sleeping so soundly, he doesn't even notice that this prison cell has now gone really light. And his visitor actually gives him a bit of a tap and says, hurry up, get up and get dressed. Who's ever heard that in a morning whether it's getting ready for school or work or whatever it is, you're going to be late. Hurry up, get dressed. This visitor that's visiting Peter is an angel sent by God. I thought it was tough being, when I used to get woken up by my mum and dad in the morning, imagine being woken up and the first thing you see is an angel. And as Peter wakes up, he's like, ooh. And he thinks he's actually having a dream or a vision. He doesn't think what's happening is actually real. So he quickly puts his sandals on, he puts his clothes back on, and he follows as the door of the prison just opens in front of them. And he's probably thinking, wow, this is a great dream. And they walk past all the guards, they don't see them, and they walk out of the prison. And as they get to the big iron gate at the front of the prison gate just simply opens up before them. And he's probably like, whoa, this prison even has automatic doors like they do at Fullwood Free Methodist Church, that as you walk towards them, they just open. They didn't have automatic doors back then. And suddenly he finds himself walking through the streets of the city with this angel. And the angel turns to him and looks at him and then just disappears. And I don't know whether it's the cool, fresh air of the breeze coming down the street or whatever, but suddenly he comes to and he's like, I'm actually outside of prison. Woo! What do I do? Where do I go? Oh, I know, I'll go to Mark's house, because I'm sure that everybody is going to be there praying for me. So he quickly runs to Mark's house. And obviously the door is locked. It's late at night. And so he knocks on the door. Nobody answers because they're all busy praying. They're too busy praying. So he knocks again and again. And eventually a servant girl called Rhoda hears the knock and goes to the door. And it's a bit like a knock, knock, who's there situation. She hears the knock. She goes, who's there? Now, at this point, you could tell a really bad knock-knock joke. I'm not going to do that to you this morning. But Peter goes, it's me. It's Peter. No, it can't be. He's in prison. And then she recognizes his voice and she goes, oh, it's really Peter. Now, most people you'd think would open the door at this point and let him in, but she's so excited to go and tell everybody else who's praying that Peter, who they're praying for, is actually at the door, she forgets to open the door and runs off. And so she goes back into the house, and as everybody's praying, Lord, will you please rescue Peter? She goes in and goes, Peter's at the door! And they go, you what? Peter is stood at our front door. And do they all go, oh, brilliant, our prayers have been answered? No, they all say, you're crazy. There is no way Peter can get out of that prison with that many guards under Herod's arrest. He's going to die. We need to pray for his salvation. The very thing they are praying for is stood at the door, and they don't believe it. How often do we pray, and do we actually believe that God will not only hear, but answer our prayer? Whatever age we are, whatever we pray for, do we believe God will actually give us the answer to the prayer? Because there's Peter, and he's still... Because he's thinking that any minute now, Herod's guards are going to come too, and they're going to come looking for me. These friends of mine better let me in quick. And so they hear even louder knocking, and they run to the door, and there he is, and they're all going, "Hey!" And he's like, "Shh." He quietens them down, and he's like, "I'm here. I'm back." Peter puts his finger to his mouth so they will be quiet. so they won't actually wake anybody else up. He explains to them exactly what's happened, how God has rescued him by sending an angel to him to rescue him out of prison. He tells them to share this miracle with the other leaders in the church. And he knew that he couldn't stay there because it wouldn't be long before the news would get out that he was missing. He leaves the believers and he goes off to a different place. Let's go back to the prison for a moment. Early the next morning, the soldiers suddenly realize, where's Peter? There's the chains. Where is he? Well, I thought he was with you. No, I thought he was with you. Let's search the whole prison. He's nowhere to be found. Herod hears of this and he's so angry, he has all the soldiers executed because they failed him. You see, Herod thought he could stop God's work by persecuting those that believe in Jesus. But you know what? Nobody can stop God's plans. And I think any of us, as I've said before, can face difficult situations where it can feel like the situation surrounding us is like a prison to us. Do we actually believe that God can do the impossible in our situation? Because I think from this story, we can be encouraged that if we are trusting God and serving him, he never leaves us. He may rescue us from the difficulties like the angel took Peter out of prison. Or he may just give us peace because we know that there are people praying for us. But in whatever the situation may be, even if God chooses not to remove us from those difficulties, we can trust that he is with us every single step of the way. And he will give us the peace and the strength that we need in our situation. Do you believe that for yourself today? Because all things are possible with God. Whether we believe it or not, God can do the impossible. But sometimes we just got to be willing to believe in him, that even whatever it is that's weighing us down, is chaining us up, is holding us back, that God can do the impossible, where for things that we may find in our own strength are completely impossible. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for this amazing story where we see you rescuing Peter, but also just that in the midst of even facing death, Peter had your peace. He knew your presence with him. And I pray for each and every one of us that whatever situations we face today, tomorrow, this week, or later in this year, Lord, that we know that we face them not on our own. Give us the peace that Peter had. Give us the strength through your Holy Spirit to be able to face these things. Give us the belief that you can do the impossible in our situation. That where other people may stumble and fall and look to others, that at every time, in every situation, we would look to you. And that in all situations, you are in control. Amen.